Operator just came onto the green room, told me that we are live. So if it is 1 o'clock on Tuesday, it must be Tuesdays with Dave. I want to welcome everybody to the call today. Oh, it's just like 6 days before Christmas. I hope you've been good, that you're not going to get cold. It's been a crazy Christmas season. You know, October seemed to last forever, and December went by like yesterday. We had our big family party at my house on Sunday. We always have it the Sunday before Christmas, unless Christmas lands on a Monday, then we have it the 2 Sundays before. But that's always great. You know, I grew up in a big family. I grew up with 12 cousins, 4 girls. Each family had 1 girl, so there's 8 boys. It was enough for sports teams. We played baseball against each other, hockey against each other, always picking up teams, and it was a good time, and those 4 families have now grown to 65 or more people. There was, I think, 6 or 7 babies there this year, and it just gets better and better. So, and the reason we have it the Sunday before Christmas is because the family Christmas party was always one of the favorite events of the year, and when people started getting married, they had to choose, and half the people would be at relatives or the spouse's side 1 year, and the other half would be at the other side 1 year, and not everybody was together. So somebody came up with a big idea of having it the Sunday before, and that's what we do, and it's been great. The best thing is everybody makes their best desserts, and the dessert table is full. And I host it, but, you know, everybody brings their specialty in food as well. So everybody comes in with all the food, and it's all gets set up, and the drink, and Santa Claus comes, and my brother Jeff played Santa Claus this year. Those of you who've been on Immersion, you know Jeff. He played a great Santa. It's pretty awesome. So that's what we did over the weekend. No more events this year. 2017 is almost come to a conclusion. I hope it's been a good year for you. It's been a good year here for us. So we bought some properties. We've sold some properties. We've educated a lot of people. Things have been good. One of the better years. Looking really forward to 2018. That should be a good year as well. I hope you sat down and thought about your goals for the year. If you're in Elevate, I hope you're filling out that book on a weekly basis. Remember, those that fill it out will be the successful ones. Those that don't will not. Well, I can't say you will not, but the probability is a lot less. So today, I've got to get a reminder here of a couple of upcoming events. We have, some special guests from Philadelphia on the line and some special guests from Orange County on the line as well. So I want to welcome you also. But let's see, I've got some upcoming events. We've got Washington, D.C. Immersion happening July 5th through the 7th. That's going to be in Arlington, Virginia. And then Hawaii Immersion. Who doesn't want to go to the Hawaii Immersion? Happening January 12th to the 14th in Honolulu, Waikiki. Listen, if you have always wanted to surf, but yet have never done it, then go to the immersion event in Honolulu and go to Waikiki Beach, and that is the easiest, absolute easiest place to learn how to surf. And those waves roll for about 200 to 300 yards before they die off. So gentle rolling waves, you can't beat it. I got a high five here. It's for actually some coaches, Randy and Laurie Marie Hines. Randy's a coach. Laurie does our accelerator program. She's an accelerator. She'll accelerate your business. They just purchased 268 units. They closed it last week. It's in Atlanta. It's near the new football stadium. They purchased it for $33 million. $33 million. It's Class D in an A area. 94% occupied. The value plays are that they will be increasing amenities along with raising the rents. They plan on changing the name and the profile of the property to bring in a higher level of tenants. That's interesting. Usually you do a repositioning like that when it's 85% or below, and they're actually going to do a property that's 94% occupied. They found the property through a broker relationship, and they raised $9 million through medical personal contracts. And I don't know if you know, but hold on a second. I want to plug you in. I got a special delivery the other day, and it's a book that Randy and his son Kurt wrote. Randy, I think, is about 60, and he won a best body competition. The guy is ripped. And and so is his son, and they wrote a book called The Challenge Effect that you can get on Amazon. It's the proven formula to look good, feel great, and unlock your true potential. So that's called the challenge effect. So that's what's going on. You know, it's always good. As we say, all our coaches and mentors are homegrown, and they're out there doing the business, and that just proves the fact. That's if you're here to ask questions, this is probably going to be a light call today because most people are out there trying to get the last-minute Christmas shopping done. But if you have questions, press *0*0 will get you into the queue, and you can open it up and you can ask any question that you'd like. I'm really good at real estate questions. I've had a lot of life experience. I'm good at life questions as well. So you can start queuing up right now. I've got some questions that have been emailed in from some mentoring students. The first one is from Larcy Meyer from Woodside, New York. She says, if the multifamily has an HOA fee payment, where should I put it in the expenses, and what category? HOA is Homeowners Association. And it says, is it okay to make an offer on this kind of apartment with a Homeowner Association fee? Here's the deal. It's not an apartment complex if it has Homeowner Association fees. It sounds like it's a busted condo conversion. And the only way you buy a busted condo conversion, you don't buy one-off units, is if you can buy the entire property. And if you can buy, like, all of it but 10 or all of it but 5, or if you're buying a group of them, that's not good because you don't control the other tenants on the property. That owner could be an absentee owner. They could put in, you know, trashy tenants, and you won't get the return that you expect to get. So take a look at this. Homeowners Association is a red flag to say that this is a condo conversion. And it's probably a deal that you're not going to do unless you can buy the entire thing. And potentially your exit strategy might be to sell them off. If all the condo docs are in place and it already has an HOA in place, then potentially you can sell off those units one off, and that could make you a boatload of money. So that might be an exit strategy for you. Or the other exit strategy is, because it's an HOA and all of those units are separately owned, they have separate deeds, that means your tax bill is going to be huge. So if you're going to hold this long term, you want to get the HOA, you want to convert it back to an apartment instead of a condo conversion complex. All right, I've got some more questions that were emailed in, but I'm going to go to the phone lines because I have a feeling today we're going to have some gaps, and I'm going to save those questions for the gaps. So let's go to the line today and find out who's our first caller. Operator, who's our first caller?
Okay, Heather is our first caller. Heather, please go ahead.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Heather. What's going on?
Not too much. It's, it's kind of a hectic time of the year, but things are pretty mellow, all things considered. Fun to hear about your holiday. And,
my favorite time of year.
You know, mine too. I absolutely love it. But all I want for Christmas this year is a pocket listing.
that's a good ask for sure.
Well, actually, what's going on for us right now, Dave, is that we are starting to get to the point where, you know, we're getting some pocket listings, or at least we have a realtor who's contacted us about a property, has said that he's not even going to tell his partner about it. He wants to help us out and get us something great. And so our coach is Don, who's amazing. We love him. But he suggested we call Jeannie and get a list of some people who might want to sponsor us. So I have this list of numbers. My sister Bree and I, we need to call. And I just didn't know if you had any tips about, you know, how to handle that sponsor, you know, call, or at least a call to introduce ourselves and talk to a potential sponsor.
Well, the sponsor's main concern is whether or not you know how to analyze the deal, because, you know, it takes a lot of time to underwrite a deal. And if you don't know how to underwrite it and you send the sponsor deals where they spend a lot of time and realize that this is not a good deal, they don't want to waste their time. So the best thing you can do is first of all, find commonality with the sponsor, you know, meet and greet. And then after that, you know, just talk about the types of deals that you do and the things that you look for and the things that you look out for, and, you know, be knowledgeable about the subject. Ask the sponsor how they want a deal presented to them.
Okay.
and then just abide by what they say.
So, Dave, would you recommend that we wait? Okay, so Jeff, the broker that we're hoping to get this listing from, he has told us that he'll have financials to us, soon, maybe tomorrow or whatever. So we haven't actually underwritten the property. Do I need to wait until we have a property that's ready to go before we call them, or should, we call and introduce ourselves, prior to having that done?
I think you should call and set it up with the sponsor, because sponsors work differently and they look for different types of deals. And you want to make sure that you have a sponsor that is, going to be looking for the same types of deals that you are. That's number one. Number two, you also want to know what the sponsor's requirements are. What portion of the deal,
okay,
the company dollar that they're going to take. Are they going to contribute in the raise? Some sponsors do, some sponsors don't. Sometimes all they do to sponsor is they put their name on the mortgage, and they show their net worth to the banker, not to you, but to the banker. So you got to figure out exactly how they operate. And by doing that, you'll know whether or not you have the right sponsor for your particular deal. And then when you get the deal comes true, then boom, you just move forward. You just save a few steps, make the deal go a little smoother.
Got it. Okay, that's perfect. Super helpful. Thanks,
Dave. That's
what
I'm here for.
Yes, I know. You guys are the best. We want to thank you for your program. We started in late April and have learned so much, and we're really encouraged by this, this possibility even of a pocket listing, because it just means a new step forward and that things are actually working. And so thanks for all your time. We came to visit you once, but you were in a meeting and we just didn't get you. But we saw Jermaine and Jeff and Jeannie and left you some treats. So we'll try again one day.
Yeah, try again. Usually they'll interrupt me, because usually if a student comes through the building, I like to meet and greet.
Your door was closed.
I was probably sleeping. When my door is closed to my office, everybody knows you can't knock. I have twins, and they're 19 months old.
That's
so,
great.
You know,
of course.
I this is where I catch up on my sleep sometimes.
That is so funny. Okay, well, hopefully next time we'll catch you, in a different kind of moment.
When the door's open. Yeah.
All right. Well, great. Thanks for talking to me, Dave.
All right. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Who's next?
Okay, up next we have Eric. Eric, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
It's going great. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas
to
you as well.
Love hearing about your family and what you do. I also come from a large family, and we always seem to get pulled in different directions, but we're all very close, so we all have to celebrate Christmas in different ways to make it all work.
It's hard when you come from a big family and all of a sudden you got to make choices. When before, when you were a kid, everybody got together, and they had the great food and everything was just great. You didn't realize that the adults at that time were making choices.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm 55 and I'm the oldest of my brother and my two sisters. We all play music together, too. And, of course, we all have our kids to deal with, and so we like to get together and play music together too. So and they're coming from all over the country. So it's really a lot of fun. My question has to do with when we were watching the footage from the Ultimate Partnering last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a newbie, so and they were presenting their deals to the Sharks, and there's something kept coming up about boots on the ground. And I suspect I know what that is, but a couple of Sharks really seem to have a problem, or really at least very concerned about this when you're an absentee owner or an owner, out-of-state owner. And I know that the one fella in Texas had said that, he only lives 20 minutes away from his commercial property, and they seem to be fine with that. But the other people who seem to have done a lot of work and have a really targeted management company knows what they're doing. They brought that up twice and said, well, they're our eyes and ears, or however they put that, but it still didn't seem to quite satisfy them. So
because
could you define what all goes into whoever.
I don't, Oh, I'm sorry.
What's that?
I'm sorry. Finish what you were saying.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I was just wondering, how do you define, you know, what is boots on the ground? What are they referring to? And if you're an out-of-state owner, how do you satisfy that requirement?
In that particular case, I don't think the person presenting had seen the property. That's what they meant by boots on the ground. Have you seen it? And yes, you can have a management company be your eyes and ears, and other people as well. But if you're looking to get money from somebody and you haven't actually seen the property, you know, in this business, that's one of the risks. You have to go through, somebody's got to go through that property, and it doesn't matter. If it's a team member, that's one thing. But if it's a management company, the management company just might tell you it's great because they want to get the fee.
I see. Dave, I misunderstood. I thought boots on the ground meant somebody, after you own the property, ongoing, that's constantly going to the property and checking to make sure the management company is doing their job. The boots on the ground meant, have you actually gone before you even bought the property and actually done your proper due diligence? Am I correct about that?
Yep. Have you seen the property?
I see. Okay. I see. All right. Well, that answers my question. That was pretty simple.
Excellent. Did you see the Herschel Walker part of that UP9?
No, I actually missed it.
Oh, Emmett Smith.
I didn't get to see that part of it.
Emmett Smith. Oh, you haven't
Emmett
seen it.
Emmett Smith
gave a great presentation. And by the way, for you and everybody else, we just signed Sugar Ray Leonard for Ultimate Partnering 218.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, he was one of my favorites. Of course, that dates me now. So.
He was one of my favorites until he beat Marvelous Marvin Hagler, which he didn't really beat him. It was a split decision, and, you know, you don't beat the champion on a draw. So,
Let me tell you something.
What?
I was going to say, Dave, I remember that crystal clear. We were watching it on a big screen, and that was a big deal. I remember that clearly.
Yep. And, you know, I made my first money in real estate over in Brockton. I grew up next door to Brockton, and Marvin, we used to see him in the bars, the local bars.
No kidding.
You know, he was our man.
Wow.
You know what? One of the best fights I ever saw was Marvin Hagler and Tommy Hearns, where they beat the hell out of each other for like three rounds until finally Hearns dropped. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. That is the most action ever in a fight.
You know, it's funny you're bringing this up because during that time, that was, in my mind, that was where all the excitement was in the boxing world. It wasn't in the heavyweights at that time. And
right.
all the excitement was within that. Yes. Yep. That's where everything was at the time, and that's where all the exciting fighters were. Yep. Boy, we are dating ourselves.
Those days of boxing.
All right, well, Dave, I appreciate it. I'll see your brother at the DC Immersion next month.
Okay, Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah. Or both.
Yeah, Merry Christmas or both. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, who's next in the wise cracker line?
Okay, up next we have Ryan. Ryan, please go ahead.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
First and foremost, it's kind of going to hurt considering the company, but go Steelers.
I know.
Go Steelers.
Boy, I couldn't believe that. That was like the immaculate interception.
Yeah, that hurt my soul, but okay, I'm going to move on from that. So my question coming from I got – randomly contacted by a broker out in Tampa, Florida. She was saying that she's got a property that she's very interested in, kind of wants an investor to take a look at. Apparently the buyer is basically a multifamily fix and flip type of organization. That being said, they have just as of like yesterday completed a massive CapEx schedule, 3-year schedule. And that being the case, the T-12s and going further back have got some, you know, some real hard to stomach type numbers. They came up negative on a couple months as far as income goes. The T-12 or the underwriting template looks about as bad as it can get because of it. but they have just completed the CapEx. How would you go about evaluating that or presenting that? She said that the biggest problem that they've had is that the banks look at that, they look at the numbers, and, you know, looking at the trailing 12s, they don't look good. But they are about 12 and 15% below market rent on the low side.
All right, so what's the occupancy right now?
Occupancy right now is 98%.
And what's the collection percentage of
that? Pardon?
What percentage are they collecting?
They are, let's see here. The numbers are right around my computer, but could you go into more detail on that?
Yeah.
I'm pretty new to this.
It's because at 98% now, I mean, they must have worked their way up there over the last 3 or 4 months. A local bank will certainly take a look at, they'll take a look at the trailing 3 months, and they could potentially annualize, requiring that the property holds at a certain level for the next 2 or 3 months. That's probably what's going to happen, is you're going to have a bank underwrite it. They'll take the last trailing 3 months, and then if they look good, I mean, if it's occupied at 98% and they're collecting, say, 91 or 92%, that's good. And they can show, sure, there'll be some negative months, but if they can show progression, getting up to that 98 and those collections rising each month, that's a good story. And then what they'll do is they'll say required upon, 3 months at this level. 2 months. It's usually 3 months. Sometimes it's 2 months. It all depends on what the previous 3 months say.
Okay. Because they just completed the pool, and that's why they're below on rent. They got the occupancy so high because they kept rents low. I mean, like I said, they're about $400 below market rent on most of their units. Or at the
100?
Yeah, 400 below.
Wow.
And I thought it was high. The price per unit's $103,000, but all the other properties, the comps that comped out, they're trading at $140,000, $150,000 a door.
Does the cash flow of 400 below and that much below value?
Yeah. So I mean, it's something that the brokers.
Was this your first property?
Pardon?
Is this your first property?
Yes, it would be.
So the bank's going to want to know who's on your management team and what their experience is. That's going to be really important in getting this loan. So you're going to have to get a good quality management company in there. That you're going to.
It's currently self-managed. So I'm looking for I'm starting from the ground up as far as a team in the Tampa, Florida area.
Look at some of the big guys. I mean, the bank, maybe you get the big guys for the first year, like a Greystone, a Lincoln Properties. They take it over. They put the infrastructure in there. But more importantly, the bank's comfortable with those big guys because they know, I'm sure they've done business with them many times before in other properties, so they know, what they're capable of doing. That's how you get That's how you got to get into this one.
Okay. Is it something that you think is still movable? I mean, the broker contacted me saying that she herself wants to be, a partial investor at about $300,000 mark.
Yeah, sure she does with those numbers.
Right. And I mean, this is in the part of Tampa. It's just south of Tampa, right next to the airport. It's it's on a 2-year redevelopment plan in the area, and it's just a solid area with huge growth potential.
How long has the broker been in business?
Broker's been in business for 6 years at her own brokerage.
Did she recommend you to anybody to do that deal?
Pardon?
Did she recommend you to anybody to do that deal that might do that deal?
Not yet. We've got about 45 minutes before our second on-the-phone contact with her.
Eric Stewart's phone number?
Eric Stewart's phone number? Okay.
Have you been to Multifamily Millions Boot Camp?
Yes, I have.
All right, so did you get his number?
Yes, I have it. I can give him a call for sure.
You should call him. You should call him, have him, give him what you just gave me, and he will give you the best, the best route to go to get the deal done.
Okay, great.
Send him information, and he'll ask you pertinent questions about the information, and he'll tell you, if there's holes in it, what holes you need to plug.
Okay. Okay. And one last thing, is this somebody you recommend for the forum down the road? You know, about finding, because we did just start. So as far as people, I can't think of the word we just used, but as far as equity partners.
So, I'm sorry. So what was the question?
Is this something that you would recommend for maybe the forum down nearly down the road, as far as equity partners or a sponsor?
All right. So the question is where are you going to get the equity or the sponsor for the deal?
Right. Is this something for the forum or?
Oh, for the forum and the mastery website, the mentorship website. Yeah. Yeah. You could certainly present it in there. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Great. I appreciate it, Dave.
Who's your coach?
We got Craig Picard.
Yeah, Craig might know some students that that might be interested in it. They might be current students. They might be past students as well. Certainly send the deal over to us. I mean, I'm always looking to do deals. You know, send it over to Jeannie. She'll underwrite it, and then she'll move it forward to me.
I started filling out the deal analysis form, and it's kind of difficult to fill out with some of the situations I've currently got with the negative income and things like that. I mean, the cap rate came in at about -1 or something.
Is contact Eric Stewart, have him walk you through it. And if it looks like something, if Eric says, this is a deal, then get it over to Jeannie, and Jeannie will get it to me, and we'll be happy to do that deal with you if it's a deal. It's a real deal.
Great. I appreciate it, Dave.
Yep. All right, good luck. Let us know how we can help.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas and all of the other ones. Happy Hanukkah.
Yep, and happy Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa, too. There you go.
Yep. All right, and happy birthday to my mom, whose birthday was Sunday, and we all went out last night to celebrate it. And she had her annual big stuffed lobster. That woman can eat. All right, who's next?
Okay, up next we have Robin. Robin, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dave, and hope you have a nice Christmas. As a new person, I'm interested in additional properties besides multifamily. I love multifamily, but the brokers are also showing me units, storage units, and commercial office buildings. Are those something that we can also do, David, or not?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different animal. And the biggest difference, of course, is the fact that office buildings, the tenants stay longer, 3 to 5 years. Storage business, there's no live tenants in there, so there's no plumbing and there's not a lot of repairs when you're replacing it, and the expenses are a lot lower. But more importantly, there's these two items called probability of release, and that's especially in an office building, the probability that your tenants are going to release when their time is up. And the reason that's important is because if they don't release, there's probably going to be a gap of anywhere from 6 to 12 months of a vacancy, so you need to factor that in. And if they do release, you're going to have to do some form of tenant improvements. And if you don't release, there's going to be tenant improvements as well. But if they release, you will not have a vacancy, and the tenant improvements will be a lot less. It'll be between $2 to $5 per square foot. If they don't release, the tenant improvements are usually between $10 to $15 per square foot plus that vacancy. So you've got to, in your calculation, you've got to take into consideration the probability. So typically, and it's a different software. The multi-unit profit finder is not the software for that. That focuses on multifamily, and there's no need for the probability in there. Bob Bowman, who is my partner, full disclosure, and also he teaches the commercial training class for us. He's got his own commercial software that he sells for like $19.95. The alternative to Bob's, there is an alternative out there. It's called Argus. That sells for $5,000. But that has that probability in there, and that will tell you it will show you how to underwrite that deal properly. Otherwise, commercial properties are good. The tenants stay longer in most cases. You just have to make sure that you have the right the right type of tenants for the right type of building, and there's a lot of other miscellaneous stuff that you need to know, certainly, between the property classes. Each one's unique, but that's the biggest, what I just told you.
Okay, last question, please. Are there any commercial properties I should stay away from, any kind of commercial properties to avoid?
Well, you really need to be careful on retail. when you're buying retail now, you want to make sure that your tenants, that whatever your tenants have for goods and services, they can't be bought on the internet. That makes a good retail space in most cases. And then you just got to, there's not one that you shouldn't go into.
Okay.
You just have to make sure, like apartment buildings, you need to have the right property in the right area. That's
right.
All.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're
have
welcome.
A pleasant
welcome aboard.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye. It's interesting, the question being that, should I just only focus on multifamily? And that certainly is not the case. You want to learn as much as you can about everything. I remember when I was first starting out, I was absolutely broke. I was living in that one-bedroom apartment. I started with small multifamily properties. I started flipping single-family properties so I could buy more multifamily properties. And I would do my advertising. And when I did my advertising, I would get all kinds of owners with different types of deals calling in. And I would get all the information. I would not understand the deal at all. And then I would call over to my mentor, Mark Cheval. God rest his soul, he's not with us anymore. But I would call over to him and I'd say, Mark, you know, I get this feeling that this is a deal, but I don't understand it. Could you help me understand this deal? And then he would just walk me through it. I'd give him all the information. He'd say, oh, you know, that's a subject too. Oh, you know, on this particular type of a property, you've got to make sure that, you know, you take this into consideration and that. And so, and I call it being a transaction engineer. And, you know, even if you don't want to hold the property yourself, you want to know enough about the property that you can flip it off to somebody that does want to hold it, and you can make money. So if you're going to spend money in marketing, you can have some revenues coming from that money. Okay, who's next? Who's next on this wisecracker line? By the way, did you know in college they played these drinking games? They used to, when Regis and the first one there, forget what it is, Kathy Lee, or Kelly, when Regis and Kelly were on, anytime Kelly touched her hair to fix it, then you had to have a drink. That's what they played in college. Now, I'm not saying I played that game, but I'm just saying. So in this particular call, whenever I say who's next on the wisecracker line, you need to take a drink. I'm not saying it has to be alcohol. It could be coffee. It could be soda. It could be water. But those are the rules. All right, so who's next on the wisecracker line? Operator?
Okay, up next we have Dawn. Dawn, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dawn, how's it going? You drinking?
I am.
Excellent.
Coffee.
Good.
International coffees. I only like the sweet stuff.
I can only do decaffeinated coffee because I get so wired out, I crash like 15 minutes later. And I'm like a half an hour.
Yeah,
I
I'm not a coffee drinker. Yep.
I
call myself a sissy coffee drinker.
Oh, sissy coffee drinker? Why? Could you drink decaf?
I only drink those really fun coffees like eggnog, latte.
The foo-foo coffees.
That's right.
I like a good cappuccino. A fuzzy cappuccino. Excuse me.
I like that.
So what's on your mind?
Okay, so Dave, I've just been doing this. I went to the boot camp in October.
Yep.
And I live in Portland, and I've worked calling and just kind of practicing, talking to brokers in the Portland area. And I'm moving to Arizona and decided to really start working the Tucson area a little harder, kind of as my focus right now.
Yep.
And so I've got three brokers. I actually leave tomorrow to move, and I've got three brokers that I've been talking to that I'm going to meet with when I get to Arizona. And one of them sent me an email, and they've all sent me information, but one of them sent me an email that, can I read it to you? Because I'm confused on how to handle this.
Okay.
He says, nice speaking to you today. Attached are two value-add properties available in Tucson that meet your criteria. These are listed by other brokers. So we would be happy to buy other brokerages. So we would be happy to represent you and your best interest in purchasing these properties. So my understanding was I would, like, each broker kind of lists their own stuff. And
they,
so am I going to pay two brokers?
You're not going to pay the two brokers. The seller's going to pay. The seller's agreed to a commission, and they split that commission. But the real issue here is the fact that whenever you're going in under the co-broke, there's two sides of a listing. There's the listing broker and there's the selling broker. So the listing broker doesn't sell it himself. He's got to do a co-broke. And that means that somebody else gets part of the commission. Whenever you can, you want to go into the listing broker, because if you're competing against that listing broker's buyer, that listing broker will win even if you're higher. And that's just done a process, you know, of they teach them at the brokerage school how to do that. And it makes sense. I used to own a brokerage company myself for 6 or 7 years over in Brockton. And I learned that dialogue just like you guys are learning from my company. When I opened that brokerage company, I went to all the different teachers there, and I learned everything I could about how to have a successful brokerage. And we got to be number two in the city, which was great. But and they train you on how that, you know, if you're going against a co-broker, you should not lose. So that's why you want to go in with listing brokers. Now, that being said, you know, this is your first, you certainly can't now find out who the listing broker is and go through them. Unless you never want to do business with these people again that sent you the deals. And maybe you don't. Maybe they're brokers that don't get listings. They never get listings. But I don't know how much you know about them. But, you shouldn't subvert somebody if you can help it.
Okay. So look at these deals. Know that if either one of these work for me, the listing broker is going to be co-broking it, basically.
Yeah. And, hey, who knows, maybe the listing broker doesn't have a buyer, and that's why it's out there on the marketplace, you know. So you may be the only offer in at the time, so you're not in that scenario that I just mentioned. It's just the risk that you may end up in that scenario, that's all.
Okay. So you can't really help that. If a broker I'm working with brings me a listing from another brokerage, that it's just the way it's going to be. I'm going to co-broke that.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dave.
Hey, you're welcome. Good luck out there.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. So on Christmas Eve, we all meet at my house again, but now it's just my immediate family. Jeff, Tammy, Danny, my mother, my father, all my nephews and nieces, and we're Swedish. So we have a smorgasbord. And on top of that table full of food, that's what a smorgasbord is. It's kind of like a buffet. But it has all kinds of Swedish food. We have Swedish meatballs. We have pickled herring. I make what I call Christmas soup every year. It has the main ingredient is chicken. We also have lobster. My mother's side, my grandmother Bowser, she had a fish market. And so we have lobster on the table to represent her. We have nuts and gumdrops, combination, in a bowl that represents my grandmother Lindahl, because that's what she used to love to eat all the time. We have almond tarts that I make, small ones that are good, and we have gingerbread. And we hang out. We exchange the gifts between all the nephews and nieces, before we exchange the gifts, first we eat, we go full, and then we gather around my fireplace. And we get out the book The Night Before Christmas. You know that poem? Well, there's a lot of different books, and there's a verse on each particular page. And so I usually start it off, and then I pass it to the right, and we go around the room, and everybody says a page or a verse. And the family's getting so big now, just the immediate family, I think we're up to about 22, that we're getting so big that sometimes we have to start again to make sure that everybody gets to say it. But when we finish that, then the kids get to open up their gifts. And then when we're done with that, we go out in the backyard and we light off fireworks. And we've been doing that for Christmas Eve ever since my grandmother died. My grandmother Lindahl died many years ago, but we used to go to her house every Christmas Eve. And it just so happened that the year that she died, I happened to buy my first single-family house, the one I still live in now. And I took over the Christmas Eve ceremony. So that's our tradition. So who's next? Who's up next on the Wisecracker line?
Okay, up next we have Paul. Paul, please go ahead.
Hey, Dave, how are you? It's Paul Eterno from Long Island. My partner Lisa and I are in contract on our first deal.
Hey,
it's a 104-unit property in Tyler, Texas.
Excellent.
And it's a really great deal, but we're up against it with getting our getting our equity partners lined up here because we're due to close January 16th, and we've got a $1.6 million raise to do.
All right, here's the deal. I used to own in Tyler. I like that market. I used to own in Tyler, Texarkana, and Longview, which surrounds Tyler as well. I still like the Texas markets. They're good.
Yep.
I don't know too much about your particular deal, but what I'm going to let you do is give your contact information. If anybody's interested, how many units is it?
It's 104 units.
So if anybody's interested in learning more about this particular deal, how would they contact you? All right, good. I don't want you to talk too much more about the deal because that would be a general solicitation. So just the fact that if anybody's interested in dealing with you, doing a deal with you in Tyler, Texas, give you a call, and then you can fill them in with the particulars of the deal.
Great. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Merry Christmas to you and the family. Enjoy the twins this year, and happy birthday to Mom.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You too. We got one more to go, and then I'm going to jump off. And I'm going to do my New Year's resolutions, but after my next meeting. Who's next? Who's the last caller for Tuesdays with Dave?
We have no further questions anymore.
Wow, that worked out perfectly. All right, well, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and a Happy Kwanzaa, and also a Happy Hanukkah. And the most important thing you can do is to sit down and think about what you're going to do next year. Create your top five goals. No more than five. Five's good. But do your five goals and then break them down on what you're going to do, how you're going to do them throughout the year. Your quarterly goals, your monthly goals, then your weekly goals. You start with the year. You go down to the quarters. Then you go to the first quarter and do the first quarter's month. And then you do the first month's weeks, if that makes sense. But there's a great book on this. It's called Rockefeller Habits. And that's where I got this from. And we do it as a company every year, and we continue to do it throughout the year. That's the important thing. And that will set you up for a really, really good year next year. So 2018 is going to be a great year. It just is. And if you believe that, that will happen for you. The whole idea behind being successful is the fact that you got to believe you're going to be successful. If you don't believe you're going to be successful and you're going to piss and moan and find excuses of why you can't be successful, you're not going to be successful. But if you decide that you're going to be successful, you will be successful. Doors will open up. Things will happen to you. It will become fate. You create your own fate. So believe it. Fill your head with positive things. Read books like Super Brain and Unbeatable Mind. And just go out there. Believe it's going to happen because it will happen. And have a great New Year's. So I will see everybody next year on the first Tuesdays with Dave call, and I believe it is the first week of the month. All right, bye, everybody. Have great holidays.